My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
It is Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins. Jeff, there's been a lot going on. We're going to get into some of the newsworthy items of the week. We're going to get into some of the on-screen stuff going on in WWE, AEW, and of course, if we have time later on, we'll get our full in-depth preview of TNA No Surrender. But before that, Jeff, how are you doing today as we enter mid-February already?
Well, personally, I'm fine. Today has been a day for wrestling news that you just kind of go, you get annoyed by, but other than that, I'm good, man.
So Jeff Hawkins texted me earlier and he said, hey, we got to add this to the rundown. And he just described the stuff as wrestling news you get annoyed by. So why wouldn't we just talk about it here on the show and annoy everyone else too? If we're sure getting annoyed by it, everyone else has to be annoyed by it too.
Yes. Let's be miserable together.
Let's get into one of them. Let's get into one of the things that annoyed you, quote unquote.
There's only one thing that annoyed me. There's only one piece of news that annoyed me.
And I think this is probably it.
Okay.
This is probably it. Let's get into, there was a fervor, if you will.
Yes.
On Thursday, just bubbling up to the point where Warner Brothers Discovery had to comment to publications. Yes. The rumor that Brody King was kept off of AEW TV on Wednesday because of the previous week's receiving ice chants, whether obviously negative towards ice.
Yes.
Brody King not hiding his disdain for immigration and customs enforcement, but Brody King kept off TV because of what the crowd was doing during his segments. This was the rumor, and then it sparked a message from Warner Brothers Discovery to some outlets that said, that's not the case. We didn't have anything to do with keeping him off. As the story unfolded, Jeff Hawkins, what was your level of annoyance / frustration? And tell me why this had to be added to the rundown for sure.
Okay, because both our friend Sean Ross Sapp and Dave Meltzer have been on this beat.
Best friend, some might say.
I don't think. Dave goes on Wrestling Observer Radio late last night, early this morning, depending on when they record, and says that Brody King was kept off, and it must have been from Warner Brothers Discovery.
Which is great when he does that.
Yes.
If you've been following, this happens in all different types of news organizations, but if you've ever been following Dave Meltzer specifically, and I like Dave, and Dave has a lot of reports.
Love Dave.
The people who say, take this for a grain of salt because Meltzer's saying it, like that's usually BS. But it must have been, because I speak to Tony and it wasn't him who kept him off. It must have been Warner Brothers. Or just sometimes, you know, dudes are off TV for a week, you know? But it must have been. He's not saying I know it was Warner Brothers Discovery. It must have been.
And thus, they kept him off. And then he goes into analysis, which is where he gets into trouble. because he's already off base on what happened. And then it's like, well, you know, people don't want to anger the Trump administration because of the merger and the WBD thing, and there's business interests involved, and they don't want to be seen as this, that, and the other. And what it sounds like is that possibly somebody got annoyed or nervous last week somewhere because of the F-bomb with the chance. So, as we go through the afternoon, both AEW and Warner Brothers release statements. Warner Brothers releases the statement that says, we didn't tell AEW to not put Brody King on television.
It's like, and, it must have been us. Nuh-uh.
And then, oh, that's of course what a corporation would say. You know, you get all the chatter from that. And then AEW comes out with a statement and says, yes, Warner Brothers did not tell us to take Brody King off of television. Okay. So what conclusion can you come from that, Rob McCarron? Because it's a simple one, but it also was never stated in any way.
Well, I think the conclusion you're going to reach here is that Tony Khan, who's in constant contact with people from Warner Brothers Discovery, clearly, obviously, as you would be when you're a partner and that's your broadcast partner, is going into business for himself thinking, oh, maybe I should let Brody King have a week off because of that reaction. Like, I don't want to upset our corporate partner, who 2 years from now might not be our corporate partner because of anything that could go wrong. You want to be friendly right now. Even though ESPN, it was hilarious with football going through the Super Bowl and having Bad Bunny perform. It's like,
I wouldn't even go that far, Rob. I wouldn't even go so far as to say he's nervous about what Warner Brothers might do. I think he might just be nervous. And so he goes, let's keep Brody off of TV. But nobody is saying, yes, I, Tony Khan, decided to not do this because I was nervous. So they let everybody's imagination run wild. And it's the worst week possible to keep Brody King off TV for two reasons. Number one, he's going to be your main event on your Saturday, quote unquote, pay-per-view,
Saturday.
No,
it's a collision, and it's next Saturday, isn't it?
No.
It's the 14th. It's this Saturday.
It's Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow. Okay, never mind that.
Going up against the NBA All-Star game or some festivities from Saturday night
Saturday night, which at this point is the best part of NBA All-Star weekend.
Yes, it's going up against that and whatnot. And also, it's the worst, and you want to build him up as a credible challenger, even though you're building up four other title challengers on your program. But
I know it was Kenny Omega's job this week to build up Brody King as the challenger, but with one line saying he's the most dangerous man. And that might have been a line because, you know, Kenny Omega would most likely know if there was some backscene stuff going on with keeping Brody King off TV. It's like, was Kenny Omega's most dangerous man in AEW like kind of a rib for the fact that he's dangerous because of his mere presence on TV?
Well, also twofold, this is the week to make Brody King a star, because Brody King is billed as from Van Nuys, California, which is a 7-minute drive along side streets for me here, and is a 20 to 30 minute drive, depending on traffic, to Ontario, California, where Dynamite took place this week.
Oh,
this is the hometown pop for Brody King, and yet don't even have him on TV. I was even able to say, hey, maybe Tony just flaked and forgot to do a Brody King segment and thought the video package would be enough. I gave him that much of the benefit of the doubt. But no, if you think you have something in Brody King, this is the week to bring him out. And they even didn't.
Even if his run at the top is over after a loss on Saturday, yeah, I mean, you make some good points. Location-based, it seems very odd that he would not be on television this week going into Collision. That does seem very odd that would be taking place. And also, the Saturday show, like, it's happening in Australia, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's not live, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so, because it would be.
It's got to be. So you know, you're pretty safe. You could always enhance the crowd or silence the crowd if necessary, based on something. But also, why would Australia start chanting "F ice" or anything like that?
He was apparently on a plane. He was apparently either on a plane last night or this morning to go to local media in Australia, because you know that's the important media, not your hometown pop, and also close by to where your next pay-per-view is going to be in downtown Los Angeles, California, possibly, and you could also get tickets out of that, possibly. Everything about this is bad, and I hate it, and it's annoyed me all day, Rob. There.
I have confirmed that the Australia show is happening at 6:30 p.m. local time there in Australia, which would be early morning, so we're gonna know what happened on the show a good 12 hours in advance. Mm-hmm. Of collision there. Yeah, so that was a story that kind of took on a life of its own today. And yeah, very odd timing that you would keep him off TV. Clearly, you know, just his presence on TV and what the reaction was when the crowd, and you're probably going to get that reaction, if not even more vocal, in California, in that part of California as well. So maybe they just wanted to take him off a week so it didn't snowball into, like, this is what happens every week Brody is on TV. Because it also doesn't help the Brody King character on TV to have any segment talking or other, you know, interfered with by really kind of chants that aren't particular to him or particular to the story he's going on. So it's not just all about corporate TV partners. Like, it also doesn't help Brody.
Right.
So that was the big story emanating out of AEW here late in the week, as we head into a weekend where we have SmackDown on Friday. We have the AEW show on Saturday, but that's not the only show. Like I said, we have TNA No Surrender. We will get to that later on in the show, our preview of what is an expanded Impact, because I don't know if you've seen the card for this show. Bring it up before we talk about it so you can get ready for what this show is. Not you, just the listeners. Not okay. You, Jeff.
Not me.
Other big story here, as the Shake Them Ropes official hernia related correspondent. Yes. This one really hit close to home. Bron Breakker suffered in now there's debate here, maybe, as you are more in tuned than I am. You know, obviously WWE announced that this happened while training at home. There's a lot of folks out there trying to pinpoint when this could have possibly happened on his last TV appearance before the Royal Rumble. But Bron Breakker suffered a hernia. It is a special type of hernia. If you were to believe Paul Heyman, this is not what you may usually think of as a hernia in the lower midsection. But this possibly could be and I'm going to try to bring it up here. But Paul Heyman said this could be a career-ending issue. And it could be, because this type of hernia that Paul Heyman said on television is the type where your stomach is protruding up into where your heart is. So not a great, yeah, it sounds terrible because it is. And this could actually happen with severe weightlifting. So it's very possible that this is happening while training. But it's very, very rare. Bron Breakker possibly out through WrestleMania, because this is not a, you know, get surgery and then in 4 weeks you can start lifting again. This is a whole different type of issue. But Bron Breakker, let's talk about, like, how obviously this will affect WrestleMania. You know, we were all getting ready for possibly a big match, possibly in the title picture, more likely probably something with Seth Rollins, but still Seth Rollins and Bron Breakker is something that's been built up for months. Bron Breakker clearly taking hold of the Vision, now out for a little bit. What will they do with the Vision? Because there's seemingly, when this group has momentum, they just get put down, whether it's the Seth Rollins injury, another Bron Breakker injury. What happened? What was going through your mind when you first heard the Bron Breakker injury? And how do you expect this to change things, maybe heading into WrestleMania?
Gutted, because I think that dude is a star. And
yeah. And gutted. I mean, ironically enough.
Yeah, it didn't beat that, but it also makes the Royal Rumble thing make more sense in terms of being out at number two and not having to go through an entire match like that.
Well, that's the other issue, right? If he had this injury at the Royal Rumble, because is that what people are saying? Because it seems like this injury happened afterwards, and the plan had nothing to do with that injury or not. If you have this hernia, I don't think you fly him to Saudi Arabia. Yeah,
I've heard that too. I've heard it had nothing to do with it, so that's fine if it didn't.
This is actually just a story. Yeah,
I'm actually confused a little bit by this Vision story now, because I thought for certain that Breaker getting taken out at Royal Rumble, that the guy under the mask there was Austin Theory again. And so I thought it was internal people within the Vision taking each other out. And then it was like a guy taking out Theory, but the entire Vision was out there. So I guess they really want us to think it's Seth Rollins. So, okay, I can go with that. I guess you just have to put more focus on Logan Paul, which I'm fine with because he is a heat machine. He should be probably the star of this group in some ways anyways.
I mean, at this point, why not just run with it? First of all, it was Grayson Waller under the hood at the Royal Rumble.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
I'm reporting that 98.2%. That's a Rob McCarron report. So if you're going to aggregate that, make sure you give credit to me. Unless it ends up being wrong, then aggregate it to someone else. But yeah, Grayson Waller, most likely. He was there. He wasn't in the Rumble. He fits the body description. So I would imagine that was Grayson Waller there. But it wasn't going to end up being Grayson Waller, of course, unless wanted to completely do this Austin Theory versus Grayson Waller idea again, which would be crazy at this point. I think the idea is they wanted it to be Seth Rollins down the road. Maybe it was someone else. But the timing is terrible. The timing is terrible. I know Dave Meltzer has reported, you know, we go back to talking about, was the Royal Rumble changed because of this Bron Breakker injury or whatever? I know Dave Meltzer is reporting that, you know, he had been having this hernia related issue for a while, but then it got to a point where it was an emergency situation, whether, you know, because sometimes hernias, whether whatever's protruding can like strangulate effectively, cutting off blood flow and such. And then you have to really go in for emergency surgery. So who knows what was going on there?
Well, Dave, to his credit, also compared it to the Kenny Omega situation as it being very similar in terms of being a hernia, where there's a certain point in hernias where it's like, you can live with it, but there's a point where it becomes an emergency and you have to get it dealt with immediately.
Oh, absolutely. And especially for someone who has, I mean, let's face it, for people with a lot of built up muscle too, there's more likelihood of strangulation and cutting off blood flow because the muscles are so tight. Like me, flabby boy over here, wasn't gonna hurt me that much. I could have probably gone on with it for a little bit. But yeah, Bron Breakker out, hernia situation, health related, possibly out all the way through WrestleMania. So hopefully he does well and gets better, because I mean, this is a top five AEW talker in the game missing WrestleMania and being out of WrestleMania season. So it's a hurt. And now what do you do with Seth Rollins? And maybe you switch something to Seth Rollins going after someone else in the Vision and just drop Bron Breakker completely until he comes back. Seth versus Logan, honestly, would not be a terrible match to make for a WrestleMania. Speaking of Logan Paul, while we're on the subject.
Well, hold on. Let's talk a little WrestleMania real quick, because there was a report today that there was a department, a lot of department meeting within about.
Got to get on the same page. You got to get on the same page about everything going into WrestleMania.
And there's a lot of, again, narratives that I don't think are true. Like it's like, well, Vegas tourism is down because foreigners don't want to fly into Vegas because of who the president is. And I like to go into the more Occam's razor style of analysis and go, Vegas ain't cheap no more.
For anyone.
It's getting even more and more and more expensive. And it's especially expensive around, oh, I don't know, giant events that they plan like this and F1. And if you look at the prices, I looked at that and I go, I live nearby Vegas and I'm not going to pay that much to go to Las Vegas at that time.
And let's not forget that this is the second year in a row in the same location. So if there's 10,000 people out there that went to WrestleMania last year in Vegas, because it's like, oh, we're hitting two for one. We're going to WrestleMania and we get to go to Las Vegas because maybe we've never been there. It's like that reason isn't drawing people this year. They've been to Vegas. They've been to WrestleMania. They've been to both at the same time. Do I really want to go back 1 year later?
And there's a sticker shock this year because last year they planned it on Easter Sunday weekend.
Yeah.
Where there's not a lot of tourism in Las Vegas necessarily, because families go to church on that day or whatever. It was a little, it's lower than usual. I'll put it that way. I'm not saying it's a ghost town on Easter. I'm saying it's lower than usual. So it was a good weekend for them to go in there. This year, they don't have that. So it's back to more spring break rates, so to speak. And they're a lot higher. And people are looking at this going, why is it so much more expensive this year? Kind of crazy. A thing. Yeah.
I mean, the tickets themselves, it's like, we're just going to really, we had so much success the first year. Let's just raise the ticket prices just to get into the door, see how high we can go. And also WWE nowadays is not in the game of lowering those prices as they head into event, whether people are buying them or not.
Right.
So they're going to, we might have 20,000 upper bowl seats that aren't spoken for just because we're not going to lower the value of what's going on just because people aren't buying it.
I don't think it's this is just me talking. I don't enjoy the live experience of a stadium show. I do not. I just would much rather watch it on TV. It feels cold. It feels impersonal. The sound's always bouncing. You can't really see unless you have a clear line to the thing. I don't find it a pleasant experience, to be honest.
I have not been to many. I've been to the WrestleMania where it was Brett versus Vince out in Arizona. I've been to WrestleMania 23, I want to say, in Detroit, with CM Punk winning the money in the CM Punk won the Money in the Bank that year. It was the ECW versus OG ECW guys, the New Blood, whatever they were calling the Elijah Burke led ECW. I'm trying to think back to the main event of that one, and I want to say the main event was, God, what was the main event? Was it Shawn Michaels and John Cena? Maybe something like that.
I mean, I've been to Manias in Dallas, New Orleans, and Orlando. Orlando was a hell of a lot of fun.
Right.
But long story short,
the reason why Detroit, I can't even remember the card, is because there have been terrible experiences for me too, being in these large stadiums. The best WrestleMania I've been to was in Chicago, the Rosemont Horizon.
Okay.
And in Rosemont, Illinois, like outside of Chicago. Small, 18,000-20,000 people, not even maybe. Like that one was so awesome because, you get a little bit more of that intimate feel. And going into the very, very large stadiums, especially for two nights and trying to make way two nights. And then seeing the people try to leave Las Vegas that year, like taking 3 hours just to get over to New York, New York.
Yeah.
Like it does not seem like a fun day.
No, no, my worst is still that Rumble in Arizona. At the baseball stadium where they literally ran out of food. They ran out of food before the show started.
can't be doing that. Although I hear that's a thing that happens a lot of times in these baseball stadium shows because they're just not used to everyone wanting food right away. They usually have 9 innings of a baseball game to kind of spread it out. But when you're in an event like that, that ain't happening. You're getting
right away. And also, they don't plan for the catering enough. Like half the places are closed anyways.
Yeah.
So it becomes a thing. So yeah.
I wanna get into this. Obviously, Bron Breakker is gonna cause some WrestleMania plans to shift. We're gonna get into some WrestleMania plans shifting because of this low ticket buying situation as well. To finish the thought on the Logan Paul issue, he had said, "This is kind of timely. Bad Bunny just did the Super Bowl halftime show there in Santa Clara." Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny says would be the biggest main event WWE could put on right now. It would be the biggest match of all time. If Bad Bunny were to come back and wrestle a match for WWE, would Logan Paul be the guy you put him up against?
No.
Who would
be? I'd put him up with a veteran presence again because Damian Priest carried him to a great match in that Puerto Rico card.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe Logan could do it. I don't think he has enough. I would put someone who has been in the business at least 10 years with Bad Bunny.
If it were the old days of like you want a veteran in there in case someone gets lost, in case Bad Bunny gets lost in the match or anything like that, I can see that. But if you were going to do Logan Paul versus Bad Bunny, you better believe for the week before that, they're running through that match from the opening bell on. And it's going to be a choreographed endeavor, much like a Super Bowl halftime show. And if you put Bad Bunny out there for 12 minutes, knowing exactly what he has to do and no one has to really think through it, then that could probably be good. Because, Logan Paul gets lost in matches sometimes, too. So that would be the danger of putting those two together. But outside of that, I'm with Logan. I think that would be the biggest match that you can. I don't know about a pay-per-view main event, But I think that would be the biggest match you could do for Bad Bunny right now.
And I think you lean into the natural obnoxiousness of the Pauls, and I think you also bring in his brother, since he was involved in this stupid Super Bowl controversy too. It's heat. It's right there for you.
It's get real Puerto Rico. Tickets. Yes. It's real Puerto Rico versus new fake Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico trying to get around the the taxes and stuff.
That's
like
right.
That.
So you got a little bit of story in there before anyone even makes a TV appearance. So we'll see if Bad Bunny ever comes back to wrestle. At this point, I mean, he was already pretty huge when he wrestled that Puerto Rico match.
Yes.
To me, it would have to be that kind of situation where they were running a big show in Puerto Rico. I don't think he's coming back to do another WWE show in the States. And it doesn't
unless
make sense
it's a WrestleMania. If
it's
a WrestleMania,
possibly.
Yes.
Unless it's a WrestleMania. That could be the case. So yeah, we'll see what happens there with Bad Bunny. But let's talk about some of these WrestleMania plans shifting, because clearly, you know, the winner of the Royal Rumble was Roman Reigns. I thought going into it, Roman was one of the few that had the best shot to win. Braun Breaker, a lot of people probably thought, was another one that had a shot. But Roman Reigns versus CM Punk, they stuck with it. It's the match they're going with at WrestleMania, at least as of now. And that one doesn't seem like it changed one bit. Where we're probably going to get some change, most likely, or maybe not most likely, I think most likely, is what's going to happen with the SmackDown World title. And will Drew McIntyre even be the champion heading into WrestleMania that is still 2 months away?
Yes. But he will lose at WrestleMania, I think.
Okay. Drew will lose. And who do you put in here? Because I want to talk a little bit about this Elimination Chamber. So
Obviously
last week, all of our Elimination Chamber thoughts and predictions were evaporated within one day. There's not going to be a tag team women's Elimination Chamber. Jacob Fatu versus Sami Zayn versus Cody Rhodes is a qualifying match this week for the SmackDown Chamber. And I thought all three, I still kind of think all three will be in that match. There's going to be some type of Drew McIntyre bullshit that leads to Nick Aldis saying all three of these guys are in the match, because you don't have six different qualifying matches announced yet. You have three. You have the one that Randy Orton won. You have the one that LA Knight won. Obviously Jey Uso is going to be involved in one. So you have four, I guess. And then this one. So you could still have those three winners and then all three of the men in this match go into the Elimination Chamber. So I see a smash. I see all of these guys going, but Fatu, Zayn, and Rhodes, all likelihood for this match being into one singles match for it. I have no idea where they're going to end up going with this, but I think whatever was the plan a month ago, if there was even a plan a month ago, is probably going to change, because it's Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes, a night one main event.
Yeah, but the women are going to main event night one.
Yeah, most likely. I would think that as well. But like on what side? In the tag team realm, are you going to do Liv Morgan versus Stephanie Vaquer as the night one main event in Las Vegas? Because I don't see that one being at that level right now.
I could see a situation where Rhea Ripley wins that Elimination Chamber and goes after Jade.
And Rhea versus Jade as a night one main event in Las Vegas to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I see Liv and Stephanie as a better match.
Yeah.
But I see Rhea and Jade as more of an event type thing that they want to push on there.
Something you could have probably done on the night one main event in there is AJ Lee versus Becky Lynch. And now that match is announced for Chicago at the Elimination Chamber for the Intercontinental Championship. So unless you want to do that two PLEs in a row, it looks like that might not even happen at WrestleMania.
At the risk of stealing Brian Alvarez's thunder, I'm going to agree with him. I hate this Becky Lynch character. I hate it. She was given the Intercontinental Championship originally because of her main event status and to bring the belt up. And instead, she's decided to become a mid-card comedy conspiracy theorist. And while I enjoy the Twitter stuff,
she has been hilarious.
She's been funny. There are times she's been funny. But her theater kid instincts are always bad. Like you notice, like we've talked about this on the show numerous times, like when she was main event, the man, and she was frustrated, she'd always go into that Jeff Goldblum, you know, hold her chin, hold her brow, hold her chin, kind of thing. Now she's overplaying the, I'm so gotten to right now. And you're just like, God, it's, she was still a badass when she went after Paul Heyman after Seth Rollins got out. And this Maxine Dupri angle has totally killed her aura to me. I don't know. It's fine. I won't stop watching Becky Lynch because of it. Yes, it amuses me. I just don't think you get the star aura back just by turning it on and off if she wants it.
Now, to me, Becky Lynch overtook the Raw tag team division in women's the women's roster importance right now.
Really?
Like, to the point where that's why I brought this up. I think AJ Lee and Becky Lynch could have been a WrestleMania main event on that night. I think what Becky Lynch is doing is fitting where on the card she actually is. I know you're talking about bringing the Intercontinental Championship up, but right now, I mean, God, she's getting multiple segments on the Raw show. She is the important factor. Rhea Ripley going away from the tag team division to be in this women's elimination chamber match for the possibility of wrestling Jade Cargill out of nowhere, to me, is like lessening what was the top of the women's division in that tag team scenario. We'll see what Charlotte and Alexa and all these other women do, because obviously only one is going to go up against Jade Cargill. I would imagine it's going to be Tiffany Stratton, and then everyone can get back into the tag team division of awesomeness on the women's side, and we can kind of forget Elimination Chamber ever happened. But right now, no, I think Becky Lynch is fitting great. Her, she's continuing to get over the Sports Illustrated says it, Bleacher Report says it.
That's a good part. That's a good part of her character. I like that she does
and
that.
And she's going crazy enough to the point, I don't necessarily know if the motivation of like telling AJ that, yeah, I want you in the ring is exactly where I would have gone with this character, but it's better than being a sniveling heel who has to be forced into the match by the general manager trope. So even though that angle happened twice on Raw this week with Finn Balor and CM Punk as well. So,
well, let me bring this up too, because you brought up the Sports Illustrated thing, and I think they found a nice little, and Bleacher Report. Yes. But they found that, and they've also kind of given that as well to the Liv Morgan character. And I think she's killing it right now.
Oh, Liv.
I think we should get into that bratty, the greatest women's Royal Rumble winner of all time, which is very, very Vicky Guerrero, excuse me, heat. But I love it, the way she goes into that voice. And I think she's, I've never been, I mean, when she went into Judgment Day, I think she definitely improved, but I think she's gotten to another level with this Royal Rumble winner character type thing. And I think she's doing phenomenal stuff with this.
No, so far, 2 weeks later of the Royal Rumble, Liv Morgan has been awesome, as she was even before, as we led into the Royal Rumble. And there's all different types of angles you can go with the Judgment Day, because Finn Balor's kind of off on his own right now, potentially with this world title match at Elimination Chamber. Dominic Mysterio's back, but not quite wrestling yet, so he's not quite ready. We'll see what happens with him getting in the ring. Judgment Day is kind of all over the place. Liv Morgan, Stephanie Vaquer, which is, I got to figure the way, because they've been wondering, like, will this actually be the match? Will it be Liv Morgan versus Stephanie Vaquer? I wonder if they're hedging a little bit, heading into closer to WrestleMania, if this won't actually be the angle. But when the Elimination Chamber for the SmackDown side, for the Women's Elimination Chamber at least, was made, it wasn't for Jade Cargill's title. It was for either of the titles, because Liv Morgan has not chosen yet.
Right.
So we'll see
what happens. And now they're putting Raw people into that chamber.
Well, both of them. They're putting Raw people into the men's one too, because Jey Uso's in it. I want to get to Jey Uso, who just a couple of months ago was back in the tag team division. They won the tag team titles because they said the Usos are back. We are a tag team. We are looking forward. We lost focus. We're going back to what we know. We're going back to win titles. We're going back to win gold. And then here 2 months later, Jimmy's like, maybe you should go back. Maybe go back to being main event Jey Uso again and just leave me to die in obscurity. Because you should go and win the chamber and go wrestle Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. I can tell you one person who's definitely not going to win the Elimination Chamber is Jey Uso. Not happening.
No, but I called this when you're asking who else is in the Elimination Chamber. I said Jey Uso, because for some reason we want to maintain the yeet, and he's a main eventer because of the yeet. And so he's effectively,
these elimination chambers are very similar to the Royal Rumble, except you don't get to choose which title you go for. It's chosen for you. But it's a match open to Raw. It's a match open to SmackDown. One day, I'm sure we'll have NXT people in there if an NXT guy gets big enough. But this is the match to determine the other champion's challenger. But you keep doing this. And I think this year is not one of those cases, because I think whatever Drew McIntyre does, he's going to have some type of say. Like, his gimmick right now is basically interfering in matches to get his preferred outcome.
Well, let me pause you here then, because you keep asking me if Drew's going to be the title holder when we enter WrestleMania. Do you think he's going to be the title holder when we enter WrestleMania?
I don't, but he's the champion. He's going to be the champion going into elimination.
Okay, because I thought of a scenario when I was talking about that, where Cody beats him for the title. Drew goes back into this I was screwed thing, and Jacob Fatu was the winner of the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I think we're going to find some way in the 6 weeks in advance, because you have your main event, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes sells tickets. So if they're afraid of what's going on with those last minute tickets, maybe they want to shake up what's happening on SmackDown. And to me, I mean, call me a homer, call me someone who's living in the past.
Okay.
But if you want to sell tickets for night one, if you're worried about it, you want someone in the main event, there's one name you go to. And his name is Randall Keith Kennedy Orton. And I think you put Randy Orton going into that match. I think you do Randy Orton versus Cody Rhodes. I know you just did it a year ago in Saudi Arabia. I think you do Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes for the WWE title.
Wow. My mind is kind of blown, because I thought maybe Randall would be Gunther's target. But
could be.
Okay.
Could be. Yeah, because it doesn't look like we're going to have Gunther and Brock. Possibly Gunther and Brock may still happen, because that's a big match, too. I think that's a lot bigger than Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. But if Brock Lesnar's going to have limited dates, I can understand how you want, you know, the big new guy coming in, Obafemi, to maybe beat him, possibly. There's a lot of uncertainty with going into WrestleMania. I think Gunther and Brock makes the most sense.
And yeah,
you could do the retirement angle without actually him retiring Brock Lesnar. And
that's true.
Brock Lesnar could even win that match for all I care. But I think that's a big match going into it. But if they're worried about those night ones, I think the biggest title match you could do on the SmackDown side is Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes at this point. So I would hedge and say Drew McIntyre may not be the champion going into WrestleMania. I still think Cody Rhodes does get that main event slot. And if it's not going to be him, I don't think Jacob Fatu is ready for that yet either.
Okay. I'm with you there. I'm a little confused. I mean, look, you could also, boy, if you really want to play with people, even though you just did a title.
I don't want to play with anyone.
Sami Zayn going after Cody.
I think the Sami Zayn turn is done. Like I expect him to get in this Elimination Chamber match. I think the Sami Zayn getting on the top there is kind of done.
Okay.
And you go into some other angle with him. You know, you already have him on SmackDown moping around and people, you know, kind of snickering at him in the back and talking down to him. There will be some type of angle with Sami Zayn for a WrestleMania match, most likely. But the world title picture, I think he's kind of out of it. He may get into this Elimination Chamber main event, because you got to have six bodies in there. But I don't expect him to go on to the title after that. So who knows? Maybe Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes is the direction you want to go. But if I had to bet right now, what's the night one main event? It's Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes. And I'm putting it down. I'm writing it in ink. No, I'm not. I'm going to write it on my computer that can easily be deleted. But there's still a history that it was on that piece of paper at one point. So that is what's going on. Obviously, we talked about the Women's Elimination Chamber. It's not for the tag team titles. Rhea's involved. You talk about Jey Uso being involved. Yeah, there's Raw people and SmackDown people. Two guys who are not involved with these Elimination Chambers, but are involved with each other. What do you make it so far, 2 weeks later, El Grande Americano versus OG El Grande Americano? Because it doesn't yet seem like Chad Gable is back, even though he's been back on TV for 2 weeks, because they're not doing the dual persona right now. One way or another, this is going to lead to someone unmasking and figuring out who was it. Because we're not seeing, I thought we would definitely be seeing Chad Gable back on TV in the background as himself during this whole thing. Because it's obvious, right? Like, that's what you do. You make it clear that Chad Gable is back. What's he doing here? Well, we've seen him for 2 weeks, Michael Cole, come on. But no, we're going to have the El Grandes going at each other.
I think they're confused as to what to do. Because originally when this happened, I thought when Chad came back, it would be like a stable of El Grande Americanos. Like all four of them.
No.
But apparently now, I don't know if you know this, but in AAA, the Kaiser,
yes,
El Grande is a huge baby face.
He's a hero. And it was referenced on Raw. Corey Graves was talking about how this crowd is behind the OG Americano, but we just did a show on Saturday in Mexico, and the crowd, El Grande Americano New, is a hero down there.
Yes, and the old one is a heel.
Yes.
Down there.
Oh yeah. Yes, he is. Big time.
This is an analysis of paralysis, I think.
To the point where I'm not even entirely sure that you should have had these guys come back to repeat the Sin Cara match.
Correct.
Right? I wonder if you just, okay, Ludwig Kaiser is Ludwig Kaiser in the States, and he's doing El Grande Americano in Mexico in AAA. But Chad Gable just all of a sudden appears as El Grande Americano one week on Raw. Like, and he's just he is El Grande Americano.
Yes.
In the United States.
Yes.
And then maybe one day you have a WWE show in Mexico, and that's when you do Hero El Grande and US babyface El Grande, and they go at it sometime in the AAA ring, but a WWE show in Mexico. So it's very interesting how they're doing this. I'm intrigued, but I still don't see the full throttle. We're not getting the most value out of Chad Gable right now.
How would you get out of this? How would you get out of this if you were them? Because they do it.
At this point, you get out of it is like it's too early for Elimination Chamber. So if there's going to be a Saturday night's main event in late March or early April, I think that's where you do it. If not, try to get it to WrestleMania. You got 8 weeks or so of television still to go. You keep them involved, and then you build to this big match where it's going to be mask versus mask, and we're going to find out really who's behind it. I got to figure it's going mask versus mask, but I wouldn't have Ludwig Kaiser lose. Because you can keep him in AAA for the next 3 years.
It's going to be two guys with two masks. That's what's going to happen.
Well, or that's when you have Grayson Waller show up as El Grande Americano and no one saw it coming.
Okay. I'm
hey, there's a lot of different ways you can go. I wanted to go around the world of wrestling. Obviously, big news. Gable Steveson, former WWE performer.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know this, former Olympian. Gable Steveson is an MMA fighter now.
Yes.
And he's got his third fight at the Mexican Fight League on February 19th. You know, he's 2-0. Do you ever see Gable Steveson? He's still young. He's still like under 25, I believe. Gable Steveson, will he make his way back to WWE at some point?
No, he will be in UFC at some point.
Karrion Kross,
mm-hmm,
is the new MLW champion as Killer Kross. Will Karrion Kross make his way back to WWE at some point?
I don't know, but I know that whatever's going to happen, he's going to keep feeding Fightful for headlines.
Speaking of a lot of guys.
Wait, hold on. What do you think? Do you think he ends up in WWE ever? Because I know that Tony Khan has no real interest in booking him.
I could see Killer Kross coming back to WWE at some point.
I could see like a Rumble appearance next year.
Only if it's within like the next year and a half.
Yes.
Because after a year and a half, like, why would we bring this guy back? Like, there's no point. Because he's never going to be hotter than he is kind of in the next year, probably. As long, you know, he's never been hotter than he was in the last stage of his WWE run.
Right.
But I mean, this is not a Matt Cardona situation where I see this guy tearing up the indies for 5 years and then they bring him back.
I don't think they need him, so I don't think they'll bring him back.
All right. Well, we've been teasing it. Let's go ahead and get into our TNA No Surrender preview.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.